welcome to Big Blend Radio's Food, Wine, and Travel Show, where we go across country and travel the world with members of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. Let's go. Welcome, everybody, today on our Big Blend Radio Food, Wine, and Travel Show with the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. Say that 10 times real fast. We're going to take a walk through ancient and modern history in northern Greece with Marnie Patterson. She loves Greece. And the last time she was on our show last year, she was talking about it. And now she is back to gonna give us a more in-depth conversation about northern Greece and its amazing history. I mean, where she went is incredible. She's got a story about it. It's up on blendradioandtv.com. And that link is in the show notes, and you can also keep up with her writing if you go to mptravelwriting.com, and that is MP is standing for Marnie Patterson. And also, if you're going to go to Northern Greece, you want to check out the website, visitnorthergreece.com/en, so you can get the English version. Marnie is a freelance travel writer, photographer, and videographer who's based in warm and sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and she writes about destination travel, local customs and culture, and history, as you're going to hear today. So welcome back, Marnie. How are you?
Just fine. How are you doing?
Doing good. The last time you were on the show, we were having a little bit of a panel discussion talking about different destinations and food and everything, but you just kept reverting right back to Greece. So it has definitely not left you, that trip that you spent 10 days, right, exploring this area.
Oh, yeah, in this particular area, yes.
Wow. So you fell in love with the history. I mean, how could you not? But some of the history is pretty brutal as well, you know?
It is.
So tell us a little bit about why you chose to go. Was it the history? Because I'm looking at the fact that you went from Alexander the Great and Paul the Apostle all the way to kind of World War One, World War Two. That's incredible.
Well, this was a trip that was available through IFTWA. And okay. I read through it and just saw, look, all the, you had to, you know, with like everything else, you have to propose what you will do, what you want to do. And so I looked and said, wow, you've got ancient history, as in right behind you, you've got where Paul the Apostle preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you've got, you can see the tomb of Philip of Macedonia, see where Alexander the Great grew up and ruled, and see monasteries. And then back in Thessaloniki, you've got all these different places you can visit and see World War One, World War Two history, and so forth. And so there's all that history in one small, you know, easy to navigate location. And so the logical thing to propose was ancient and not so ancient history. And so I proposed stories that kind of pertain to that. And the rep for that area, her name is Sophia Bernazzi, and she's the one who hosts all these trips. She is very much into that also. Her organization has like a, they've got an alliance with an organization that does World War II history all throughout Europe. Wow. So we hit it off like a house of fire because we had so many common interests.
What spurred your love for history? Has that always been something for you, even as a kid? Because, you know, there's some of us as kids that got into history and everybody looked at us like we were nuts in school.
I was one of those kids. I loved anything history, geography, you know, just all those things. I was, you know, there were other subjects that I was kind of neutral on, but I could always, history to me, like, was just like reading a story. I could ace a history test standing on my head. Reading it, or just even now, like we watch the History Channel, it's something just we do this for enjoyment. I mean, people may think we're crazy, but it's what we enjoy.
Well, it is the gossip of the world, right? When you think about world history. And so when you get to go to these places, it's better than when we were in school and that's like, here, learn your timeline. And the timeline's kind of boring if you don't have the story, like you said. But to actually be in these places where like Alexander the Great was, and, you know, to really like, wow, that's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the picture that's right behind you right now, that is in I took that in Veria, which is a city west of Thessaloniki. That is that's the exact location where Paul the Apostle did his preaching. You're standing there going, wow, I learned this stuff in Sunday school. How many years ago? It's this is what we heard about.
And do they like, because it's so interesting, because you know, we travel the country documenting parks and public lands, a lot of historic sites and forts and things like that. And a lot of times there's rules about don't overprotect it and do protect it, because if you try to do this part of this, it may destroy that. So when you were there, are they actively trying to protect these sites, or are they just pretty much open to the elements and, you know?
Oh, they protect them. For example, there was a lot of these are UNESCO World Heritage Sites. I included some pictures of the monasteries that are on Mount Athos, which is east of Thessaloniki, out on the coast. Those you can't even go there. You have to take a boat, and the boats are required to stay about half a mile offshore. So you can get your pictures, you hear the commentary about the history of each of the monasteries, but you're not allowed to go there and trample all over everything. In Thessaloniki, they've got a perfect example of what you just referred to. They're trying to build a metro system, which, by the way, they desperately need. The traffic there is horrendous. And the problem is they've been trying to build it for the past 15 years. When they started doing the work, they uncovered Byzantine and Roman ruins. So they had to stop and figure out how are we going to preserve this stuff and still get the metro system that the city so desperately needs. And so what they're doing, there's a happy ending to every story. And the one here is they're just going to take this stuff and make it into museums. When you go on the metro, you're going to pass by all these museum exhibits as you're going from stop to stop. So,
that's incredible.
Yeah. It's just
that's incredible. That's too, I mean, that's what I was just thinking about, just so many different facets of history. I love your article about this, and it's like, wow, you know. And you know, you forget about Greece and World War I and World War II in a way, you know. I think they get left off of the normal discussion of those two wars, you know. And
they do, because everybody thinks of ancient history. I mean, our trip to Greece, we went on a cruise and we went to the Acropolis, and you know, you see the all the historical things, the ancient history, the Olympia and places like that. But nobody really thinks of those things. But that's part of what Sophia's organization is trying to do, is bring that stuff more into the you know, the public eye as to Greece's involvement in all that.
What also fascinated me with part of your story, you talked about the Scottish Women's Hospital, and there was a lady there, and I'm like, we just talked about on our women's history show, we just talked about a lady who, she, I mean, this is incredible. In World War II, you've got to think about a woman deciding to get into, and she was a nurse, it was Nurses Day, and she went, and she was in World War II, right in the heart of the battle. In fact, she was in Italy. And she called it the half acre of hell. And it was one of the bloodiest battle spots. And she was part of setting up a hospital for the soldiers. And the soldiers are going, this is worse than being in the foxhole. We were safer there. But you've got to think, and even going on there on those boats, and how, I mean, everyone was getting seasick, and, you know, it just is insane. And you think about a woman in the 1940s, women weren't signing up to go in the military, and this woman did. And so as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, there's another woman doing this. This is so cool, because again, that is often left off the storybooks.
Oh yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the woman you're referring to is Catherine Harley. She was with the, I can't remember the name of the organization, but she's a nurse with this, a Scottish organization. She ended up setting up a mobile hospital that where the Serbs were fighting. And they were so appreciative that they set up a gravesite for her when she died. And there's a whole tribute to her in Serb Croat and English on her headstone that talks about what she did and all their appreciation for her. When the Serbs visit that military cemetery, they have their services and for their own troops, and then they go over and see her grave.
Oh man, that's special. I mean, it is quite amazing when you think about her doing this, you know. These women out there, and so I just wouldn't have expected you to have experienced this. This is what's so cool about travel. I mean, were you kind of, I mean, as you were going through this and planning your trip and knowing, you know, these are the trips you're going to do, I mean, were you kind of shocked as you were going through all these different levels or stages or eras of history?
Well, I knew going in that all this stuff was that this was the plan, because I met with Sophia and we talked about the various facets of history throughout this entire area of Greece. So when she planned the itinerary, she included ancient history as well as more modern, more modern history and World War I and World War II and so forth. In fact, the last day, we could have gone to, there's a World War II bunker up near the, I think it's the Bulgarian border. She said, we can either go there, it's a 2-hour drive there and a 2-hour drive back, or we can go to the War Museum in Thessaloniki. And so we decided to go to the War Museum because a bunker is kind of a bunker. You get there and you go,
Yeah,
okay, this is where everybody
it's a
fought.
bunker.
You go there and you look around, you take a few pictures, and that's about it. You can say you were there, but the War Museum in Thessaloniki is that it goes through from the turn of the century through World War II. So you've got not only World War I, but you've got the Greco-Turk War, which is right after World War I, the forced migration, which happened right after that, and the Greeks' involvement in World War II. So there's a lot more to see there. And so I think we made the right choice.
Yeah, I think you have to do that when you have, you're limited on time, and it's hard. And as travelers, you want to take in everything, right? And you can't,
Yeah, well, the other
you
thing is we take for granted as Americans and Canadians, I don't know who's listening here, but even Western Europe, you've got really, really nice highways where you get on there and you zip wherever you want to go. In some places in Europe, I mean, the roads in Greece are good, but I'm not going to say it's not like super highway. So
know.
getting somewhere in 4 hours, it's a major undertaking as opposed to just jumping on a highway. And you could probably cover two or three states in a day, depending on where you are and how fast you're driving. But
Yeah.
on the you were mentioning women in the museum, the War Museum, there's also somebody very interesting that they have an entire exhibit about her. Her name is Sophia Vembo. She was kind of like the best way to describe her would be kind of like the Bob Hope of Greece. She was an entertainer, and she went through and she sang songs that kind of gave the troops a lift in World War I during the Greco-Turkish War and World War II. In fact, she put her she was in her life was in danger because her songs were against the Nazis, and of course the Nazis, if you didn't agree with
Yeah.
them, they caught rounded you up and sent you off to some camp to shut you up. So she had to go in exile, but wherever she was, she kept on singing and making sure that the troops heard those songs.
You know, this is amazing women's history. Now, we're going to have to put this on our women's history channel now because it's our women making history show because it shows, again, you're showing things that, we may not always hear about, but, I'm going through like it is mind blowing, everywhere that you went. And I can't pronounce everything, but let's talk about what happened in regards to Jewish history in Greece, because that's also fascinating. You also went to some graveyards, burial sites that are pretty somber.
The you were talking about the Jewish history. That's a story that Thessaloniki really wants to tell. There's a Jewish museum there, but it's kind of tucked onto a side street. In fact, I had to park the car and just use my iPhone to find the place. It's just a little storefront, and I mean, you'd miss it if you just walk by it. But in there, they've got this, it's a wealth of information. But one of the things you learn about when you go there is Thessaloniki actually had a really nice, thriving Jewish community. They had people come from all over Europe, and they had a Jewish cemetery that dated back to like the 15th century, 1500s and so forth. And so the Nazis occupied Greece. And they, of course, they rounded up these people and sent them off to Auschwitz and various places. And I mean, you think that nobody can stoop this low, but the Nazis managed to. They went to the cemetery, uprooted all the graves and scattered the remains, and then took the headstones and used them to rebuild buildings, roads, walls, and so forth throughout the city. If you know where to look when you're walking around the city, you can see these headstones, these
Wow.
former stones and the buildings. You'll see this, like, what is that? It's Hebrew writing. Around the White Tower, which is one of the places that people visit, it's one of the biggest tourist attractions, right on the Aegean Sea. The wall around there has Hebrew writing. on some of the heads on some of the stones. After World War II, the city government decided to keep it, and it's just a tribute to all the people who suffered during World War II. I mean, they couldn't remove it; it was easier just to keep it and just use it to pay tribute to them.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. I mean, it's interesting how things like that happen. And you know, in like Asheville, North Carolina, we took a history tour, and I love these tours. And I mean, don't, like you went with a company that's telling you the history. I mean, I think you get more than if you just start running around on your own sometimes, you
I
know?
didn't go to the company though. I was with a PR rep. The hosted me, and Sophia and I went around, and she pointed out these things. So you're right. I did get more of that, but she's lived in Thessaloniki all her life. She
Oh,
donates
cool.
as living. She took me over to the like the place where they're in Thessaloniki, where they're building the metro, and pointed and said, "This is where they're building, and they're trying to build this metro, and these are the ruins they found." So they're going through and cataloging all these ruins while they're trying to build the metro system. And then we went to the World War I cemetery, and she
Oh,
pointed
wow.
out. I would have walked around, but I wouldn't have known to go to the British section and see Catherine Harley's grave. I wouldn't have known to go to. I wouldn't have known about the history about the like the Jewish history in Thessaloniki. So it helps to be with somebody who really knows that, whether it's a tour or whether it's somebody who really knows the area.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, we did that tour in Asheville, and it was a history and mysteries tour, and it was like haunted history. And it's because Asheville, North Carolina is super haunted. It's there's some wacky stories out of there, and it's super cool. And in the one downtown area, they built on top of bodies. I mean, they had all, you know, I think it was it typhoid or one of the big, you know, pandemics came back in the day. Took all, was it yellow fever? I don't know. I can't remember that part. But they had a mass amount of bodies. And you got to think way back when, what do you do with all these bodies? So they just kind of did a mass pit grave, and that's where all the bodies were. And now you're in the historic downtown, and there's church, it's all on Church Street, and you're literally walking or driving over dead bodies. It's crazy.
Yikes.
That's it's sad, you know, but what were they going to do? And they needed to do something, you know, and it wasn't quite the downtown area yet, you know, only a portion. So it's, you know, these stories are there, but it when you don't know and you're just walking and shopping and going for a beer in the beer city, you don't know, you know.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm saying you've got these inside stories, and that's the beauty of being a travel writer too, is we often get that scoop, you know.
Yeah, other people know to check this out. You know, you can go to, like, if you go to Thessaloniki and look in a guidebook or just go on a tour, someone say, "Oh yeah, you got to go see the White Tower. You got to go see Aristotle Square. Go to the archaeology museum, the Byzantine Museum." Yeah, all those things are important, but these are the stories that you're not going to get unless you really, really you know, go off, you know, you go off the beaten trail or talk to somebody who really knows the city well.
Yeah, for sure. So Thessaloniki, you went there, there are other place that you started off with that you talked about. I want to make sure is Veria. Am I saying that correctly? Veria, Veria.
Veria
Okay.
is where that's a picture behind you where Paul the Apostle, it was that was where he did most of his preaching. They actually call that the cradle of Christianity in Greece because, you know, remember from Sunday school class, Paul went around evangelizing. Some places he was accepted, other places he got thrown out, and, you know, people were trying to, you know, throw rocks at him and say, "Get out of here, you know, we don't want to listen to what you have to say." Well, Thessaloniki, he did not get a good reception. In Veria, people loved him. So he spent a lot of time there. And this is where Christianity started in Veria. And they it kind of moved out or fanned out to other areas of Greece.
Wow. And so there were monasteries out there too, right? In through that area.
There are monasteries all over Greece, but the ones that I saw were on Mount Athos. Those are out. You know, I went to Vergina first, where that is the old that's the old capital of the ancient city of Agae, which is now called Vergina. It's the where Philip of Macedonia ruled. That was where original city of Macedonia, and Alexander the Great took over after he was Philip was assassinated. You can see Philip's tomb, and you can also see the tombs other members of the royal family there. It's a big underground complex. And so from
Wow.
there then, that's where I drove out east to go to what's called the Chalkidiki Peninsula. If you look at a map of Greece, on the kind of like the southeastern part, you'll see these three fingers kind of sticking out. And that those are three fingers jutting out from what's called Chalkidiki or the Chalkidiki Peninsula. The one at the very top is called Mount Athos. And you go to
Okay.
a town there called Orionopolis, which means Sky City or City of Heaven in Greek.
Oh.
And you can get boat rides there that take you out past all these monasteries. And they're huge. I mean, you're just sitting on the deck of the boat. You think, oh, I can't get more than half a mile away, but they're so massive, it doesn't matter. If you've got a good camera,
Wow.
you're standing on the deck, hey, it's like they're in your face when you get your pictures. And
Wow.
so they give you the history of each one. They tell you like when it was set up and so forth. And then after you're finished, you go back to it takes you back into Orionopolis. But you see, most people can't go there. A very, very limited number of men can. I think that it has to be like you're going for religious reasons, and then no women can. I guess, I don't know, they're into this, it's sort of a
It's
religious
the,
thing.
yeah, it's amongst the monks. It's for the monks, and women can't be monks, but I think there's a couple that have that in Buddhism, and I'm not, don't ask me anything about that. I'll get myself into trouble. But it's
Actually, we went to a monastery that was technically it was all women. It was a
Oh,
convent
wow.
where they yeah these ladies are
Yeah, convent.
they're really they grow olives, they make olive oil. They had a whole people do basically what they're good at. So you had all these women who were into mosaics, and they're making beautiful mosaics or icons like the ones that are behind you. The little they're little ones that people hang up in their houses and stuff like that. They can make those. And then also what's interesting about them is from a more modern standpoint, they also had a foundation associated with the monastery, and they do say like modern day medicine. For example, you've got underserved populations, children, women, and so forth who need medical care. They've got an entire medical clinic set up for, oh gosh, you see, mammographies, cervical cancer screening,
Wow.
Pap smears, kids checkups. These are people who may not be able to get medical care in any other place. They can get it here, so they're trying
Wow.
to do those. And so it's kind of like an older, sort of like an older traditional organization is trying to meet modern needs.
That's amazing. That's amazing out there. That's, and you know, you're talking about them, you know, they're growing olives and making olive oil and doing all these kinds of things. You know, Greece is known to be like a healthy region. Like it's like one of those blue zones, I think. I know Scottsdale near you is trying to become a blue zone community. So it's like the blue zone communities that, you know, people are eating healthier, they're more active, they eat together, and wine, you're allowed to have wine together, which you like. So what was I just want to touch us outside the history here. You're going through all of this, but did you feel like you were eating healthier, or you know, what was it like in the food side and the lodging side?
Okay, well, the food side, I'm not going to say it was healthier because we ate so much. Every place
Okay.
I got to go to an amazing restaurant in Veria with Ioannis, which is that would be John in English, but that was Sophia's counterpart in Veria. He took me to this amazing restaurant where they brought us out like five different courses, and two of them were desserts. So I don't know
Oh,
how.
okay. All right. Well, they're happy over there. Let's put it that way.
And we did go to a winery,
Okay.
and let's see, she took me out to a restaurant in a place called Polygyros, which is out in Chalkidiki. And we had the guy came out and said, okay, we've got, I can give you the beef. In other words, it's kind of like a bunch of different dishes. Do you want beef or fish and seafood? We took the fish and seafood. And he brought out, gosh, we had, let's see, mackerel, sardines, mullet, squid. Another, I can't remember what this is, but a bunch of different types of fish, and they all had wonderful sauces. And so I'm not sure how healthy it was. It was a lot of food. It was probably, it was all good, healthy food, but there was just a lot of it.
It's a good thing you went and a lot of walking. Hey, and by the way, I love that this is airing in May because it's National Walking Month. So this is a, you know, you did a lot of walking. So it's a balance, right?
Yeah, you have to be some of those mountain towns, you have to do a lot of walking. You're going uphill and down. You feel like you're part mountain goat, or you wish you were, because it's a I mean, wear comfortable shoes. By the way, you were talking about accommodations. Just one thing for
Yeah.
anybody, for people who are listening, just a sort of like a travel tip. Not all Greek hotels and places where you can stay provide toiletries. I had a few incidents where I got there and all they provided was like soap in the shower and no shampoo, no conditioner, no body
Okay.
lotion or anything like that. So if you're traveling, bring a few small bottles. And if you go to a place that does offer them, grab a few extra and just pack them in your stuff because you might just need them.
Yeah, you never know, especially for, because how long were you in Greece as a whole?
I was there for about almost 3 weeks.
Wow. Yeah, so
Some of
you
that
do
was
need to collect.
personal. You know, I
Yeah.
did the, I did the I did the Northern Greece. So that was part of a press trip, and then I went down to Santorini because I'd always wanted to see it. It wasn't part of our cruise, so I stayed there a couple days, and then went back to Athens because on our Athens leg, we got to see the Acropolis, but there were other things we didn't get to see. So I went to see those things, and then came home.
Huh. Now, when you went to Northern Greece, did it kind of tie up with the rest of your Greek experiences in Greece? Like historically, did you get like a better picture of the whole country, like going to all these different areas? Like, you know, because I think it's like you understand history better when you go to as many places in a region as you can.
Yeah, you do because I mean, in any city in Greece, Thessaloniki and Athens included, you're just walking along down the street, you turn the corner, and all of a sudden you're looking at ruins and you're going, oh my gosh, what's this? What are these here for? It's an ancient palace, or it was a temple or something like that. And so that happens all over, and they're trying to preserve that. So I mean, what are they going to do with it? They can't move it from where it was because that's where it was originally. So they just set it up so that you can just go and just go and see the history.
Cool. I like this. I mean, I have not been to Greece, but every time people talk about it, I'm like, I want to go, you know, and I think the history, I feel you make me really want to go. I want to go,
You were just talking
you
about
know.
food. When you go, I'll tell you two things. You were asking about food a while ago. Two things that I really, really liked when I was there. I remember we were in Sophia and I went out to lunch the first day when we were walking around Thessaloniki. They brought us something. Oh my gosh, what is this? It turned out to be it was either goat or sheep's cheese. And what they do is they
Oh,
grill
yep.
it with ouzo, and then they bring it with kind of like a tomato or pomegranate relish. And it was really good. I like cheese to begin with, but this,
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, it's saganyaki, I think is what it's called. I end up ordering that again. They've also got a really great Greek lasagna. It's Greece's version of lasagna called pastizio. And then,
Ah.
of course, you can get a gyros, which we have over here. You can get a gyros, and souvlaki is kind of like a shish kebab. But there, you won't go hungry, definitely.
What were the lodgings like aside from the toiletry thing? What were the range of accommodations that you could say like that you experienced and what you saw that maybe you didn't stay in?
Well, let's see, a lot of small hotels. I stayed in Thessaloniki. I stayed in two different places because I was there for a couple of days and then came back. When I came back, I was in a very big modern hotel, which was extremely nice. And the one I stayed at when I first got there, it was nice. It was very it was older in the middle of the city. I had a problem. I'm not going to say that they had this problem all the time, but I had a problem with the hot water. And
Okay.
I mentioned it, and I never had hot water the entire time I was there. So at least I woke up because I had a kind of a lukewarm shower. But what a lot of, what you have to kind of accept is that you're in the middle of a big city, and this place has been around for thousands of years, and it's a little hard to get plumbing to work as efficiently as we're used to seeing it work.
Yeah.
One that I stayed at, I pulled out the hair dryer. It was in one of those hair dryers that's in the wall. Took it out to dry my hair. I turned it on and sparks flew out. That was the same one where they only provided soap in the shower. So I went down, wet hair. I said, I got a problem. And they said,
Yeah.
oh, God, we're so sorry. And they went and got one out of their storage and gave it to me and said, leave it in the room. We'll go ahead and replace it after you've checked out. And so they took care of the problem. You can't fault them there. But it's a
Yeah.
little strange. Uh-oh, this is not
That's
good.
a, that's really fun. I mean, that's part of you can't have a hiccup traveling. I mean, if you don't have a hiccup, you didn't really travel. Like, you know what I mean? Those kind of things are part of it. And it's like a hotel is never going to be perfect. A restaurant's never going to be perfect. You can strive for it, but especially in these older places, I think that's it's hard. Nothing works the same, you know? And in these, yeah, ancient places, it's going to be different.
Well, the good news is in both those places, I could walk out the door and I could walk anywhere I needed to, and it was right
Oh,
there.
I like that.
And then out on the
I like
coast,
that.
you get a lot of places like where they had me out, and that was my home base for the Halkidiki Peninsula. It was more of a resort where it was kind of all inclusive. Modern, very nice room. They had, it was people go there for vacation. So there were pools there. Plus, you were within walking distance, like right down the hill was the beach. And you could, they had me set up where I got breakfast and dinner. And they had very nice, in fact, this place got awards for providing the best breakfast in Greece. And they had everything you could possibly want. You could get
Oh.
the typical English breakfast. You could get the cheeses and meats that you're used to getting in Germany, Holland, and Belgium. You could get, if you're from Asia and you wanted, I don't remember seeing any kimchi there if you were from Korea, but I do remember seeing some
Yeah.
vegetable, that type of thing that you would eat from Japan. And then cereal, just about anything you could possibly want. And everything
Wow.
was from that area. So it was, you didn't go hungry, that's for sure.
That's cool. Well, everybody, that's a good travel log for everybody. Get some good advice on traveling. So, are you going to go to the International Food Wine Travel Writer Association's IFTWAS? It's everyone says their conference. You're talking about when you said about going on the island with the three fingers. I was like, well, it's up in the Finger Lakes region of New York. New York State, New York is the conference this year for IFTWA. Are you going to be going to that? Awesome. Awesome. So that's going to be fun.
About another hour, they've got there's a another one of the webinars where they're going to have people on there talking about their pre and post trips, hearing about what all they've got some interesting stuff going on up there, particularly from a history standpoint.
Oh, here you go. And like Corning, the glass, Corning glasses up there. Obviously, wine. I mean,
The women's movement in Auburn, and like the suffragette movement, Harriet Tubman, that one play the place in Pennsylvania where the 911 plane went down. There's a
oh
lot,
yeah.
over in Niagara too, over into
Oh
Canada.
yeah, that's true. And when you think about women's suffrage movement, we went to Seneca Falls, which is right there. And just standing there where they, you know, all the women gathered right on this corner, and I'm like, I'm standing here where they were. Like, power to you, ladies. You know, it was pretty cool and it's
Certainly,
beautiful.
we have an election year. Think very carefully about what you want for this country and vote.
Exactly. Well done. Well said.
Vote.
Well said.
People had to fight for that right for you, so use it for God's sakes.
Exactly. That the right to vote, I mean, is, yeah, it's huge. It's huge. Everyone, again, for the article that Marnie wrote on Greece, and you can see her photos. It's awesome. Go to blendradioandtv.com. The link is in the show notes. You can also go to MP Traveling. Excuse me, mptravelwriting.com. That is Marnie's website. So MP standing for Marnie Patterson, and all her social media links and everything are there. And iftwa.org to learn more about the International Food Wine Travel Writers Association. They rock, and we love these shows because we go around the world, we cross the country. And today we get a history lesson too, and a little bit of information on food again. So that's always good. It was great to have you back on the show, Marnie. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's Food, Wine, and Travel Show, featuring members of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. We encourage you to visit their website. We say IFTWA, which is IFTWTWA.org. You can also follow us at bigblendradio.com. Happy travels, everyone!